This is Daryl War again for February 2020. I am extremely chatty, so I figured I'd just get an update going. Because Pit 21, other than the freaking technical problems with all the voices, because I was doing them all separately, which I think I'm going to stop doing that, because it just takes too much darn time to edit. The other problem is trying to figure out in Pit 21 if it's going to end with Amy going back to sequence, because like I said in another update, that they're always just going back to bed, and this is the beginning of the constantly going back to bed because everybody's getting up to do something in the middle of the night. So I have to figure out if she's going to get the call from Quentin at the end of 21 or if I'm going to leave that for 22. Oh my gosh, so chatty, just everything going on. I hope people are coming to their senses now. I really hope that, because I feel a whole lot better. But I'm just looking at everything going on. Oh my goodness, like double whammy for Dark Shadows fans. Seriously. Because you got the hypnosis with the social media, the commercial social media. There's some that isn't, and they don't have, like, buttons. But, yeah, that hypnosis of just the hating and the hating, and it's like, are you telling me, Daryl, that I hated you because I was tricked to? Yeah, I am. Because the whole status quo and getting approval from people you don't even know, a lot of these people you don't know. Good Lord. But, yeah, and I always tell you, don't feel bad. You just get educated, understand what's going on, and then you're fine. Yes, it's very embarrassing. I understand. It's very embarrassing. But like I was saying, double whammy. Because not only was there this hypnosis, which is extremely strong, like Tristan Harris says, a magician, the subtle things, the subtle human things. But the double whammy is the non-canon pairing, the Julia Barnabas thing. And O'Sheen was getting in touch with me saying, yeah, things coming up again with Little Women. Like I was saying when I was so upset in the Julia Barnabas and Inquiry podcast. That was what I was talking about. I was talking about Joe March and how that affected me. Well, there we go. You know, O'Sheen was saying, I didn't know there was like this virulent war going on or battle or whatever. With, you know, who Joe March picked. I'm like, yeah, here we go again. And Silver Petticoat Review, I remember there was some article there about another Little Women, and oh, well, this one end up with Joe picking Lori, and I'm, oh god, I hope not. This is just a lesson we all have to learn. And bless Louisa May Alcott for sticking to her principles. She preferred writing short stories, and so just a lot of that stuff. It's like, well, if you're gonna push me, I'm gonna do something different. writing novels. And yeah, I got over it, the Joe March thing, by reading Little Men and Joe's Boys. They are out there. They've been out there for centuries, or maybe one century, or maybe a century and a half, but whatever. So, yeah, double whammy. That's why I say Helena was the perfect friend to make, because she knew the difference. She likes other non-canon pairings, too. But she enjoys the Julia Barnabas non-canon pairing, but she also enjoys the canon Josette with Barnabas. And, yeah, but, I mean, it got so bad, and I'm sure it is still so bad, because people just couldn't figure out the definitions, and it just got so bad. I mean, I don't blame Romanovich, you know, Dark Shadows Into the Light, for wanting to get rid of that interview with KLS, because that is embarrassing. I really, you know, I love that he did it, I love that he put it out there, but asking Kathryn Lee Scott, do you feel that the great romance was Dr. Hoffman and Barnabas Collins? No. And yeah, so, but it's a double whammy because these things work in a way where if you just are surrounded by the information, you start to believe it. So, and again, one thing I really wanted to talk about, you knew that I wasn't affected by that at all, because if you listen to episode 2, Barnabas is kind of asking her on a date to go see Mad Monster Party. You know, like, would you like to go to the pictures tomorrow night? And she's like, what? Oh, please. If you want to go see Mad Monster Party, you can go by yourself. She's disinterested. And it worked that way because that's how I saw Dr. Hoffman's character on the TV screen. You know? No, she wouldn't be to... No. We're dealing with... Don't you care about what's going on with Victoria Winters or even Phyllis Wick? And he's, you know, going reaching for another cup of coffee. And... So, yeah. So I say double whammy on hypnosis for Dark Shadows fans, seriously. Yeah. Like I said, I was there too. I got involved and then I got crazy. And there's plenty of proof of me getting crazy. And that's one of the reasons that I knew between old books, and yeah, there's some things in the old books that are very embarrassing or shocking because morals were different and it's a struggle, but you also have to maintain this is how it was. You have to understand, be educated, this is how it was, and recognize the length of time that passed and how things changed and why even a good story will have some nasty stuff in it that we don't approve of anymore because we're growing as a race. We're growing, trying to get better and better.
Oh, yeah. And the commercialism, yeah, that really just eats us all up. So, yeah, I'm just thinking about so many things going on right now.
And to try and help anybody who is coming to their senses, yeah, there's somebody else out there that is with you. But yeah, you could tell. And so yeah, that's why I always say Helena was a perfect friend to make first in this endeavor. And we still go back and forth. We're focused on story creation and that kind of thing and enjoying other people's work sometimes. But yeah. Oh, yeah, really, really scary stuff that we're all going through. I was telling Seamus too. I was like, the trick is stop using that stuff. And I know that it's prevalent. I had to work my butt off to get the like button removed from my WordPress weblog. And I was grateful that when I found the instructions on WordPress, somebody called it stupid. And I thanked them. Thanks for calling it stupid. Trying to get rid of that thing. Ugh. You think I'm crazy? Well, what am I surrounded with? And yeah, sorry that I've scared some people with going off like Captain Greg, but I've been thinking about that guy, you know, from Ghost of Mrs. Muir, Captain Daniel Gregg. You know, I had another pen friend, Ghost of Mrs. Muir fan, just saying, oh, sorry, somebody was hitting those kudos buttons. That's why I don't share on Archive of Our Own anymore. Because I'm like, I do not want to get any more of those darn emails exploding Mardi Gras at me that somebody hit one button. There's nothing to celebrate about that. Nothing. And it's sad, too, because Archive of Our Own is not commercial either. But the kudos button basically stems from the like button. It's pretty much the same thing. And you just get caught in the trap of, oh, well, this is popular. No, actually, it's doing something much different. And then that's why people are not as chatty about this stuff. Because they don't know how to be, because there's things like kudos and likes and upvotes and all those things. So yeah, it's sad just because that particular site is not commercial either, but they're using a thing that works really well with addictive commercial systems. And I told my pen friend, you know, the Ghost of Mrs. Muir, because she was apologizing. I'm sorry that, you know, that happened, that bothered you. And I was like, well, you know, in retrospect, I think it's pretty funny. Because one of the rants that I did was, I think Captain Daniel Gregg would be ashamed of you. And it's true. He's a fictional character, but I truly believe, you know, I truly believe that, yeah, he'd be ashamed if he was a real guy floating around as a ghost and just looking at this and just being like, this is absurd. Just, what a mess. But, and I also, I know you guys have been concerned. The Ghost of Mrs. Muir fans, I know some of you have been concerned because I know some of you were escaping Dark Shadows for, you know, going into Ghost of Mrs. Muir because it's very lighthearted. But even some of the crazy online stuff, I mean, it's hitting you too. I saw a review that was real nasty and I tried to send some comfort to the author of the story because, you know, I was just like, look, you know, it's the review. Oh my gosh, it was nasty. And the reviewer, oh my gosh, and he mentioned Facebook. It's like, this is fanfiction.net. This is not Facebook. That was part of it. And the other part that just killed me was, if you can't take this criticism, pick up your crayons and go home. And I was like, I think the writer is at home. We're all at home, you know? And just, I think he wrote the review at home. I think the writer posted the story from home. I think she put it together from home. No, we're all at home. That's why this stuff is crazy. Because it's getting into our personal kind of privacy. What little is left. Oh, so I'm sorry. It's not my fault, but I am sorry. Heavens to Betsy. So yeah, I've just been thinking about that. Yeah, and working on, you know, just as a side hobby when I get a little inspired. A Dark Shadows movie sequel fan work. I get a little excited because I always had all these ideas. Oh, you can continue onward. And I'm just loving some of the stuff that's already out there. Like Toronto Batfan just did a marvelous job continuing what would happen with the Collins family from the film, 2012 film. I was like, oh man, I'm home. I'm home. So
Yeah. I really, you know, I tell you, you get uptight about what I'm doing. But yeah, I was advised to do a lot of this stuff and just trying to find the right people. And then I just get locked into that addiction too and just start getting crazier and crazier. And again, with John Carlin, I was writing Lisa a letter. I said, I'm so proud of him. He didn't touch any of this stuff. He didn't want anything to do with it. I'm so proud of John Carlin. Well done. Yeah, he had plenty of stuff that he was already addicted to. He didn't need another one that's 10 times worse. Like I said about the health problems, I got really worried over the years. But yeah, good job. I am so proud of him. Just saying no. Something a lot of us can't say no to. Some do. Some people say no. And they can live reasonably well without any of this stuff. And it's surprising because you think, oh, well, everybody. Well, it's not absolutely everybody. There are folks who can do without and do well without. I don't have anything remotely like a computer or the internet. Yeah, one of my favorite pen pals. We don't write very often. It's pretty short stuff. But one of the things that attracted me was she only uses the internet at the library. And I thought, oh, good, this is safe. She won't know any of this garbage. And she was also the one who was like, I tried it and, you know, tried episode one. This involves thinking, and I am retired, and I'm ready to settle down for this. But yeah, just doesn't have the internet at home. And that's why I'm so grateful to a lot of you pen pals, you know, listening in. Because then just keeping me company, gotten me away. I mean, you were helping me break a very hard addiction. I've been addicted to other things, and I had to use the same techniques to get off of the other problematic stuff, the other substances. Nothing illegal. But yeah, I had to use the same techniques to get off of a lot of this stuff that I used for substance addictions. Because even eating addiction, there is that too. And that's really difficult in our society because there's just ads everywhere and there's pressure. And the internet and the social media addiction is like an extreme version of a lot of stuff that we've all been through with television and bad food because it's a commerce society. So, you know. Children of Commerce, so I still love what Kara Swisher was telling Tristan Harris in Recode Decode from that interview, I think it was last year, 2019, and asking how he felt about Jack Dorsey. They were referring to Jack Dorsey as though he was Twitter, and she was saying, I'm sorry, you know, she's all, I like him personally, but I gotta say, too long now. I was telling a friend about that, the one who said Tumblr was the nastiest social media site on the face of creation. You know, I was telling her about that interview, and she seemed really relieved to hear, yeah, too long. Yeah. And the thing that's horrible, because I know there's other addictions that are legal, and they're trying to phase them out, but the like button, I mean, that's bad news. That is just, I don't know how. If people want to get rid of that, how they're going to, because people are so addicted to that thing. And another pen friend told me about the South Park episode, You Have Zero Friends, for Facebook, and they were just satirizing the whole thing. And it was a good episode, I remember it well. But that was 2010. I was telling them, yeah, that's great, I'm glad to get a recap on that, but that was 2010. This has gotten way out of hand. Well, it's been out of hand for, what, that was 10 years, dude! Jeez. But yeah, double whammy with both social media and exacerbating the non-canon pairing as though it's real, or it happened, it didn't happen. And that's, I think, why people get so frustrated. And I was telling Oshin this too, I'm telling other people, well, this doesn't make any sense. Why hate a character for not reciprocating? Because you got convinced by a whole lot of other people who got convinced by other people that he reciprocates somehow. So then you're watching, you know, this 5-year show that was 5 days a week, and he's never reciprocating. He's not interested. So then you get all mad at him. I'm all, this is like when we were getting raised, and a lot of things have to be simple when you're very young, because that's the only way you're going to understand it. Columbus discovered America. Well, we know that that's off. So then when we get older and we find out how untrue that is and how much more was involved in the story, we get mad at the grown-ups. We don't get mad at Columbus. So with this Julia Barnabas thing, get mad at him because he's not reciprocating. It's like, what, you're going to get mad at Columbus because somebody lied to you about him? Oh, yeah. So I think that's why people get so frustrated. And
I just got frustrated because it's like when I was getting in touch with Lisa and saying, can I talk to you about what is this Julia Barnabas thing? You know, what is this? And she's like, yeah, I think it's getting worse. And I'm like, well, then I better keep doing what I'm doing because this is just terrible. You're allowed to have choice. But I've flown off the handle, yes, at people because I'm getting complaints. You know, I'm trying to put this together and getting nothing but these complaints, which is part of the social media. You get rewards for hating. You get rewards for being gross and nasty and sick, and it's totally twisted. But yeah, that exacerbated that. So double whammy, and I was just like, okay. Because, you know, well, I'm really confident that anybody who was posting their Julia Barnabas story, she was reading them and reviewing very nicely years ago. But yeah, you get tricked by this stuff. I still love... goes to Mrs. Muir. We don't have that problem over there. And Lisa said, well, I'd hope not because it's in the title. And that was why I started focusing more on the canon pairings that people did understand that were very obvious, like Gomez and Morticia. Extremely obvious. Those people are so in love. So just make the comparison. You know that that is there. And put in the photos, like with Otto Marcher's interview. Like, here are these three pairings. They are canon. These people either kiss or get very close to it. Like goes to Mrs. Muir. He gets close and close and close. So it's tragic. Especially because it's like, you know, we're enjoying fiction for your off hours. And then you become this automaton, getting angrier and angrier and religious about it. And it's like, oh my gosh, guys. Again, that's why I'm talking to you about it. Because I'm hoping that I can lend some moral support. Going back to Little Women. Like O'Sheen was saying, some sort of virulent battle. But she also noted that she's all, well, you know, I never had any problem with Professor Bear. And I didn't know this thing was going on. But then again, when I got into the Little Women novel, I didn't have the internet. So I wouldn't have gotten exacerbated by all these other opinions that were all over the place. So,
and one of the things O'Sheen pointed out was that this argument, battle, whatever, over who Jo March should have ended up with, reminded her, not surprisingly, of the big old controversy of who Barnabas should be with. And that's what really kills me, is the be with, as opposed to have been with or have ended up with. It's always present tense. I get a little scared about that. And not just with her, plenty of people. But she was saying, yeah, the Jo March thing was, oh, it kind of reminds me of this other thing. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, it is the truth. And, you know, just... wanting to pick what you want to pick. And I still haven't found out why some people are anything Dark Shadows. I don't, you know, I'm asking about that too, and I don't quite understand where that comes from. My current theory about it is running home from school, being so into this thing, and the continuation. You know, that continuation. So the social media with those schemes, with like the endless scroll and the like button, all that, it's the same thing. Continuation. With no resolution. Whereas, that's why I'm like, oh, don't bother me, you know. This is constant resolution, the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. This is constant, you know. I'm trying to resolve everything. And what's great, with the novel, you see that life does go on and you can enjoy yourself. And we're working on that last night. And then I got all excited about the other mini, you know, little hobby thing on the side. The Dark Shadows 2. So, yeah, just working it out that life does continue. So you can have continuation with resolution. It's not constant resolution, that is life. But, yeah, I'm really glad that when I was working with Barnabas and Maggie, they wanted Sarah back, because then I knew what direction the novel was going to go. Okay, so the goal for this journey is reaching her to college and getting her past her 11th birthday in mortality. So yeah, I'm working on both of those things. I just needed pen friends to do that, and I'm really grateful for all y'all. I'm proud for some of you staying away from the nonsense. And I'm sorry to have scared people. I didn't intend to, you know. I was... Anything that I've done of a harsh or outraged nature within this last however many years it's been was more of a frustration, wake up, wake up, wake up. And that was why it was so relieving to hear Tristan Harris from the Center for Humane Technology say, he's like, I've been wanting to tell people, you know, snap my fingers, say, you can wake up now. And yeah, that's why I was getting so outraged and angry. I was trying to just, come on, wake up. Like I said, I don't know how they're going to relinquish the like button. I hope that someday that happens, but
It is very bad. And then it's sad when I get ads in the mail, whether it's politics or medicine or whatever, and and then all those sites, like, see us on this, all those little icons, you see them on, like, mail, you see them on the back of products, and I'm just like, yeah, the four websites of the apocalypse. It's made my husband laugh with that. Ay, ay, ay. So, yeah. Hopefully this isn't too crabby, but I had so much going on in my mind, and I just felt like, yeah, you should probably talk to the audience about all these different topics. And I've given the suggestion of how to get in touch with me, xoiscythe@hotmail.com, been doing that from the beginning, trying to figure out how you would even introduce yourself if you've been listening for years. I'm not sure what to suggest. Because it would be a confession. I hate the guilt. I hate guilt if it's not useful. It's supposed to be useful. That's why Barnabas is a reluctant vampire, even though sometimes he is really nasty on the screen. And terrible. Because he's, I remember Lisa, too, she was saying, oh, he was crazy. I'm all, I know that. His character, stuck like that and hosed like that. And you don't go cuckoo. And they did such a good job with this character, too. They're like, well, Let's do something that might be a little safer, because we know kids are watching this. Which, again, doesn't explain Jason McGuire. He was just total evil. So they worked it and figured that out, and then eventually got the 1790s portion. And then you get it explained, even though the continuity is suffering. But when they created that, they grounded them down to, who is this person? And then we find out that, no, he's not the hoser, he's the one who got hosed, and go into that Mr. Darcy, first impressions can be misleading. And again, that was because his character was so popular, so now you show the redemption and reform the romance, which was also wonderful because, like I've said earlier in another show, the ghost Josette and the 1841 parallel time Josette, it makes her the bookends of both sides of the series. And Barnabas being such an integral component, perfect romance for where he is. When you go back to 1795, 1796, they represent his character as, okay, no, not so much the villain, more Mr. Darcy. That probably does like to dance. Sometimes I think, somebody said, like, where did the cane come from? Where did the cane come from? And, the bat pooped it because he felt bad. And I keep wondering, well, maybe that was Grandpa Munster. Isn't that terrible? That's terrible. I'm sorry. Or Igor, because Igor was his bat. But then it doesn't explain, because I remember telling Helena, Grandpa's friend Igor is a way better bat than Barnabas' rubber bat string on a stick. And, oh, just the foolishness of getting so religious about this stuff. Whew. So, yeah. I feel terrible for everybody. I feel upset and annoyed, but I feel terrible for everybody because, yeah, this is just so embarrassing. But then again, using an intoxicating form of social media. Good lesson, too. You get drunk and do things that you're ashamed of and are embarrassed. Really like, oh, geez, I did that. And I remember Douglas Adams talking about, yeah, and then you drink again so you could forget it and then do worse. But, yeah, that's what we're all going through. You get tricked. That's why Humane Tech talk about, regulations. It'd be nice if we took care of each other just as a general rule. But, get the money, money, money. That's why I was telling Seamus, the trick is, just like MySpace, just like Friendster, just stop. We just stopped using that stuff. And it was pretty funny because we were talking about, like, we both remember when the scroll showed up on Facebook, and he was just like, it was so irritating because it was like, you just go to your page and then you go to your list and you go check out what you pick. There's some effort involved. And I was like, yeah, I remember, like, you logged in and all of a sudden there's this scroll. And without the like button, it seemed to work pretty good anyway, because then people are really talking because you just see this stuff. But yeah, and I do remember a little drama. I think it was like in 2010 or something with one of my friends that I really miss. Somebody got all tweaked out about something. Pets versus kids, that kind of thing, And she was just like, I could not believe it. But so there were already those kind of problems, but they were pretty minimal. They were pretty rare. And we all kind of gathered around like, oh my goodness, what's going on with this person? But they also didn't seem to be educated about the technology either. So that was the other problem. But Seamus and I were talking about when we first noticed the scroll showing up. And you had, it was like you had no choice. And just like, oh man. And the thing about before that, we were using MySpace. I said, yeah, I think one of the reasons that Facebook became more attractive is because MySpace was offering all these different variables that you could add to your page. So I was like, yeah, here, have wallpaper, have this, have that, and everything will look different, and then you couldn't figure out where everybody's shit was. So then people moved over to Facebook because it was uniform and it was easier. Yeah, it's sad because, yeah, we remember. And the other problem, too, is that initially the like button was a faux pas that you didn't touch. Like, I'm not going to touch that, you know, considered lowbrow. But then new users showed up and it just became more and more prevalent that people were using that thing. And then getting all guilty. Oh, my gosh, guilty. Oh, my gosh, that's the guilt. It's so sad. Oh, man. We've been through this before. We've been through slower versions of it, but we have been through this stuff before. Yeah, it's troubling. Infecting our social lives. I mean, it's just absolutely terrible. But like I say, you educate yourself, know the difference between a waste of time and saving time, and know the difference between canon pairing and non-canon pairing. Don't get mad at Barnabas because somebody lied to you about him. It's about as ridiculous as getting mad at Columbus because somebody lied to you about his past. And some of the lies they thought were true, too. You know, this has been going on for ages. But another thing that I was telling my parents, what happened to the grown-ups? You know, what happened to our grown-ups? Well, they're just, weren't they invested in all these morals and integrity that they kept preaching at us? Makes you wonder. So, what else do we got? How long have we been going on for? Oh, heavens. Yeah, working out stuff with the marriage novel. I know that the last chapter up for the marriage novel, that was, I could sense some bittersweetness that people were getting a little disappointed that Maggie's noticing that other people are getting older. And their purpose in the novel is just protection. And so they're not aging. And I remember Helena asked me, are Angelique and Quentin aging? No, that's why it's funny. You know, the end of the thing is funny. That chapter, because the older David, who's now the tutor, he's saying that, because Barnabas said something like, you know, what would we do without you? And like, David's like, well, it's going to happen. You're holding the line here. You know, all four of you are holding the line. You're all immortal. I'm not. I'm going to be signing records saying that you're your own children. That's what I'm going to be doing. Like, what do you think? You're going to have to face that, Cousin Barnabas. But they saw the couple of readers, like, the bittersweetness. So the chapter I'm working on to release at some point, if I can get enough chat via private channels, because it's working the same way as the radio drama, unfortunately, is Maggie's out talking to Sam about Sarah's schooling. And it's just a good chapter just where they're chatting and everything's fine. So hopefully that'll cheer everybody up if they were worried about people getting older and the description in the other chapter. Because I've been really enjoying that, just seeing Sam survive and him and Maggie still the best father-daughter in television. And the other thing they talk about is Maggie's mother, as well as Josette's mother, because I figured they'd be the same. Because it was very interesting to see that Josette, she had Andre, but no mother. And that's why Countess Dupre was kind of important. So Maggie, same. So I was like, well, yeah, maybe she just... Josette and Maggie, mother, were also the same. Wouldn't that be a slice? So that's one of the things that they do talk about in this chapter that I'm hoping to release at some point. Just, you know, have you heard from Mom? Have you heard from Mom? Yes, I have. And what else are we doing here? Then, yeah, 21 is pretty good. It's looking pretty good. I mean, it's slow going. I am so sorry. I know a lot of you've been waiting, but, you know, it's a tragedy we're living through. And then I have to figure out an ending for 22. I have to figure out the ending for 21. And then I got to figure out another ending for 22, because that's where it's going to start going into the direction of Dr. Hoffman having to deal with, oh man, getting kind of... We haven't figured out quite how it's possible for her to get possessed by a previous life during a seance. and what that is, and working it out with one of my pals, and I was like, well, you know, maybe it's a spark regression. It's like a, because Andre, or Sam, well, both, had that in episode 4, because he was getting tripped out by Angelique's painting that he was going to destroy. So he didn't have any kind of hypnosis. There was something about that painting, because I switched it. And then he was going crazy over it. Like, he remembered all this stuff from the 1790s. And so with that, yeah, it's kind of, I figure, yeah, we already had that in the pit. So with Hoffman, we could probably have it again. But that is also working with Hoffman and Stokes. That is why Stokes is getting concerned. You know, he's been a bit aloof here and there about certain things. Just because he likes to focus, you know, so much on just the technical things. Keeping his focus on, you know, one thing at a time. And he likes it that way. So with his romance with Dr. Hoffman, we'll kind of jump in and get concerned and get more romantic in certain spots. So that'll be good. Get to get her some attention. Which would have gone faster if everybody had not lost their marbles, including myself. Whew. But yeah, any pen pals listening, who I'm still writing to, yeah, you helped me. You pulled me out. And we pulled each other out, and I think I'd said in The Tandem Is Back, you know, that somebody who was saying, yeah, I'm going to cut back on some of the pen pals I'm writing to, and I do appreciate, but, you know, I've just got so much. Because she does, you know, she's raising kids and all that, and has a lot of things to struggle with, but it was good. I said, we did good together. And she said, thank you for helping me getting rid of my own social media addiction, too. And yeah, and I said, yeah, we pulled through. We made it. And that's a good, I think that's a good note to leave off on. All right. Y'all take care and get in touch when you can.